Father Peyton Plesala. Good morning again.
Yeah, good morning. Glad to be here.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. So as being Catholic, a lot of people will say, well, I was born Catholic, which actually is a misnomer. No one is born Catholic. You have to be baptized.
That's true.
But when you're realizing, okay, if I'm trying to live as a Catholic, I need to be intentional in that, don't I, Father?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So then what does that mean?
That's a great question. When I was talking to Mike earlier this week, and he said, yeah, let's talk about what it means to be an intentional Catholic, or what are some steps? I said, well, I feel like there's a lot of defining that needs to happen about intentionality. And I think what you said is right. Like, a lot of people just, they grew up Catholic. They go to Mass on Sundays. They practice in a very general sense. But, you know, I think when I was thinking about what it means to be an intentional Catholic, Todd, I actually remembered back, you know, to you when I was in seventh grade and you were the youth minister at St. Ignatius. That was the moment that really kind of changed the trajectory of my life and the faith. And it was all just because you kind of made a comment. It's like, look, you guys are in seventh grade. You're getting close to high school. You're at the point in your life where you're making decisions for your life. You know, like, you still live in your parents' house. Your parents probably bring you to Mass because that's what they do. But you kind of just made the pitch that, hey, you know, at the end of the day, the question is, like, is this something you want to do? Mm-hmm. You know, your parents want you to do it, and they've kind of raised you in this faith, but is the faith something you're going to continue in your own life, you know? And that just really struck a chord with me, that this was something I needed to do and be, as you said, intentional about it. And I needed to kind of take ownership. And so I think a lot of people just kind of rest in the first stage of discipleship, which is, I claim to be Catholic. I go to Mass. I kind of in general try to move away from sin, or at bare minimum, I don't like my sin. That's a good first step. But then there's a next layer beyond that, and that would be, okay, I want to take ownership of my life. And something you were kind of just talking about, working in ministry, is a good example. One of the next stages of growing in your faith life is, do you actually make sacrifices within your life to make yourself available to deeper communion with God, to deeper mission in life, to help build up the kingdom of God? And so things like this, like that next layer beyond just the basic bare minimum Catholic, is like, do you belong to any of the kind of charitable groups or organizations or kind of community Bible study things at your parish? You know, do you do things with the faith outside of just the 1 hour of Mass on a weekend, and just going to confession at least just barely once a year? You know what I mean? Like, do you engage with it more than that? I know when in that seventh grade moment, when I kind of really made a decision, I'm going to start really practicing my faith and kind of take it seriously, that kind of triggered a ripple effect even in my whole family. And one thing I know my dad particularly started doing is he started reading scripture on his own, and he started studying, you know, our faith, and he read the catechism. And so like those kind of next levels of, are you engaging with your faith in a level deeper than just you happen to have fallen into a Catholic crib, you know, the day you were born? Those are the next steps. Now, I'll say this. I think we could debate the proportion, but I think most of our parishioners are probably at that level. They enjoy being Catholic. They're devoted to coming to Mass on Sunday. If there's a big or exciting enough event, or there's a group that they really like to be involved with, they'll be involved in that. But, you know, most Catholics just stop there. They're like, okay, this is it. Like, I practice my faith. I'm faithful to what Father asks me to do. And these people may even go to holy days of obligation, which is like, okay, that's a serious thing. But there are four layers deeper into discipleship, even beyond that. And most people don't know that. Because one thing that I don't see a lot of parishioners doing is they do not take ownership in their own heart and life. They do not take personal responsibility for the actual spreading of the gospel to new people. And that, I think, is the boundary where most Catholics are sitting very comfortably being fed by their parishes, But they, for whatever reason, and I think it's because they've never been invited, or they've never been taught, or they've never been shown. I don't think it's entirely their fault. You know, I'm not. This isn't a blame game. But I wanna kind of dispel that ignorance now. There are layers deeper in discipleship, where you're no longer just going to church to feed, but then you actually do what God always intended for you to do with the Mass and with the sacraments, which is then take that grace out into the world and intentionally find people who do not know Christ, or find people who do not enjoy the fullness of the church's bounteous grace and sacraments, and then to walk with them and accompany them into the church, and to like bring them to Christ. And then if you want to get all the way to like the top layer of what it looks like to be a disciple, is when people you start mentoring and discipling and bringing into the church then go out and do it themselves. And you basically become like a grandfather, you know, to disciples who are coming into the church. And so there's a lot of ways to go deeper and become more intentional in your faith. But I just wanted to kind of lay out, like, there's a whole framework for what an intentional disciple looks like and the fruit that their life bears. And I really do think most Catholics are sitting there stagnant, not because they don't want to go deeper, but because I don't think they necessarily understand there's deeper to go.
Father Peyton, you laid that out really well. And as you're laying it out, I'm picturing the pathways, even the stages I've been in, stages the people around me are in. I think the challenge for a lot of people is they're probably nodding their heads along with you in their car. Yes, yes, I get that. But I don't know that they know how to take that step between being fed in the church and then going out and being an evangelist, for lack of a better word, or a disciple, or taking it to that third step. There seems to be, much like a person doesn't know how to work out when they walk into a gym a lot of times. You have to know maybe what to do in those instances, even if they're small. And maybe you could give maybe some helpful examples to people that, okay, so I know they're talking, I need to go deeper. What does that look like in practicality?
Yes. No, that's a great question. The first thing is I want to give one more framework that everybody can use to kind of help evaluate where they're at and maybe where the potential areas for growth are within their spiritual life. I mean, this is at every stage. Every stage will always include these three dimensions of the faith. The first dimension is personal prayer. Right? Like, are you spending time every single day in prayer? It is absolutely essential for the growth of us in the faith life to spend time in prayer. Amen. Okay. The next thing is, do you have an intentional community of people who practice the faith like yourself? And are there some people in your community of friends and people around you, neighbors and community, are there people that are further along than you in the faith who can help kind of guide you and encourage you to go deeper? So in community is an essential part of the faith. It is impossible to be a saint by yourself. It can't happen. Like, the church was arranged purposefully so that we would always have to be a part of community. And I say this because I've noticed this particularly with like middle-aged Christians who have kids and are raising kids and things like this. A lot of times you just kind of end up in the community with the people that you're around or the people that you've known for a long time. It's your childhood friends, it's your cousins, it's the people who happen to be in the neighborhood with you, it's the people whose kids go to school with your kids. Like, you just kind of end up in these friend groups, for better or for worse. You know, I know my parents' best friends were met along all those same lines, and it's a very intentional faith group now. But my thing is, like, do you have a group of believers with whom you meet and talk about the faith and encourage each other to grow, hold each other accountable? So community is the second piece. And the third piece is mission. Do you actually like have a particular vocation? And I'm not just talking about, you know, marriage or priesthood, but like, do you have a particular and unique vocation in which you are intentionally trying to make the world a better place by bringing more Christ into it in some way. And so those are kind of three metrics, and you cannot grow in any of those metrics without the other two. You will plateau without the others, right? You can pray and have a lot of great community all you want, but if you're not actually serving the building of the kingdom of God, you're going to plateau both in prayer and in the fruitfulness of community and all the way around. So practical steps. The first thing, like the metric I would use to ask yourself kind of where you're at is you have to evaluate your time and your sacrifices. So that is an incredible way to get an immediate litmus test for what's important in your life. Now, here's a great example. Like, and I don't mean to pick on people who love football because I'm one of them. I love football. I love watching football. But I have seen people rearrange work schedules, save money, like budget vacations. Like, I have seen people make incredible sacrifices to move heaven and earth in order for them to be present for a particular football game. And they'll even show up 7 hours early and like get food and get drinks and like be there. They want to be so involved that they like make all these sacrifices. And I'm sitting there, it's like, I could not convince 90% of my parishioners to show up to Mass 30 minutes early. And Mass is literally like heaven meets earth. Like, there's nothing greater than the Eucharist on earth. And so, you know what I mean? So like, that's a litmus test. It's like, where am I making my sacrifices? What are my priorities? You know? And I think that's a really good way. Like, where am I spending my money? Where am I spending my attention? And if Jesus is nowhere in that top list, and I would argue if he's not number one on that list, he's not in the right place. Amen. You know? And so, it's not something to beat yourself up over, but it's something to take honest inventory over. Because I do think, Todd, what you were mentioning earlier is a perfect segue. It's like, for you to enter into mission and for you to follow Christ, you have to sacrifice part of your lives. And eventually you'll have to sacrifice all of your life. You know, and the sooner you start making those sacrifices and making way for the Lord, the better. So some more practical tips. I really think the parish life is the locus of this whole operation. And so you don't have to get on the internet. You don't have to rearrange the entire cosmos to be on mission or be faithful. I would just reach out to your parish priest and say, look, I'm just realizing that I am probably not being as intentional as I should be about my faith. I don't feel like I'm really building up the kingdom of God. And just ask your pastor, are there opportunities or there needs that you have that I could help fill in just building up this parish and making this place, you know, a more fruitful place? And so I would look at your prayer. I'd look at your community. I'd look at whether you're on mission or not. And if you need help in any of those areas, go speak to your parish priest, because I promise you, every pastor is sitting here like, I just wish someone would come and help me with this or that, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Golly. And it is good. Like, a friend of mine came to me. He had a kind of a reawakening of his faith. He was in his late 50s. And he said, Todd, you know, I realize I got to make some changes. What do you recommend? And I said, well, walk through your house and tell me if someone didn't know you, what would they know about you?
Yeah, yeah.
And he came back and he's like, you did that on purpose, didn't you? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, my house is a shrine to football. Yeah, he goes, I don't even think people would know I'm Catholic. And I'm like, well, you can do some minor changes and they can figure that out. They can figure that out. So the next thing you know, it's like perfect, like a Todd move. He bought a statue of the Blessed Mother that's like life size and put it right in the atrium, right when you open up the front door. He goes, now they're going to know.
Heck yeah. I love that. Be bold. Be bold.
Father Peyton, can we get a blessing before you leave?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.